fact, well, we've talked about the non-existence of existence and the existence of non-existence and how it is a consideration and how everybody sinks anyhow and there isn't any possible way in staying up, but it's a very possible thing to do to stay up, and a person should make every attempt, of course, but probably the whole universe would disappear anyway. And it's all very happy, and it's all very easy, because it's just entirely a game anyhow, and it really doesn't matter, because you can't do otherwise than survive. But, of course, if you really shut your eyes, you're dead. In other words, we can talk about this as long as we want to in terms of effects, because there are as many effects in this universe as there have been causes. Well, how could there be a have-been cause if there's no time except what a thing makes? How could you possibly have a have-been cause? I ask you that seriously. I started this lecture in a spirit of levity here, but I want to know now. I mean, how could you have a have-been cause if you yourself have to postulate consecutively in order to have time and get the consideration going that there is time and the change marks it and all that sort of thing? And if you yourself are making the space, and you mustn't find the point from which you're not making the space from, and... Well, what the heck now? I mean, what are we going to do here? If there is no time, if everything is going consecutively as nice as you please, but there is no time, it must mean that everything that ever happened is in present time. Oh, my. Well, that's a horrible thought. Let's put that away. Everything that ever happened is in present time. It's true, though. A fellow obviously is in his last dissectomy, latest medical operation. It's quite fashionable. A dissectomy. They don't do it for any reason. They just break out a scalpel and start whittling. Now, you could get very burdened about this whole thing if you didn't recognize step 2 of procedure 30 for what it was. But is there anything back of step 2 of procedure 30? Problems. Why mustn't a guy solve all of his problems? Why does he go on having problems? Well, how would you do this? If you could only keep your attention on one thing at one time, and if you were the only one that was granting any beingness to anything, why, how could you possibly have a lot of things going on in a lot of spaces simultaneously if you were only able to give your attention to one thing at a time? As everybody knows that it's only possible to put your attention on one thing at a time. So in view of that fact, how could you keep anything running? How could you have any individuality at all? You'd be spread all over the place. In other words, you'd go out there running horses and doing this and doing that, and you'd keep the ants crawling and the clouds moving, and gee, you'd be busy. Well, of course, this effort is too much. We all agree to that. So how in the first place could you rig this up so that there would be consecutive occurrences and you would only have your attention on one thing at a time, really, so that you could enjoy life and get an effect from it? Well, the answer to that is you'd set up an automatic machine. And this is your thetan and his machines. Now, we talked this morning about the structural parts of the thetan, the body, and the bank, and so forth. We needn't talk too much about the reactive mind. It's very, very adequately covered, and therapies actually exist to resolve the reactive bank of the body. There are lots of therapies that resolve all kinds of things about this. Creative processing, all sorts of things. Well, we had better now consider the machine, if this is the fourth portion. It's the reactive bank and the body. That is, the body plus its facsimiles. Those are two units, each one of which can apparently have personality. Granted beingness in both cases, by the way. And then there's the Thetan and his machines. So here's two more parts, but each one of these machines is a granted beingness of some sort or another. Okay, if all this is the case, we got these four parts, we'd certainly better talk about this machinery, which is what we're doing. Machinery is there, of course, to a large degree, simply to make life interesting, but it's also there to make life. A Thetan, without a consecutive passage of time, wouldn't be surviving at all, would he? Well, time, definition of, is persistence. Definition of what is continuous existence. Well, we've got continuous, we've got persistence. All of these things have time implied, don't they? Every one of them comes back to the fact that we have consecutive. He is surviving this moment, he's surviving the next moment. Well, let's look at time. It says in advanced procedures and axioms, and any of the early lists of logics and axioms, it says time is a single arbitrary factor. Where would it come in on this machinery of the Thetan and the body and so forth? Well, actually, the body is the most timed thing there is. The heart goes boppity-boppity-boppity-bop-lup-dup-lup-dup-lup-dup. That's 72 heartbeats a minute. The breath, 16 breaths a minute. Circulation of the blood, exactly so long because of the heart, the various impulses. You have it eating three times a day. You have it sleeping. In the case of a Scientologist, you have it 23 hours out of the 24. Or in the case of and in the case of the working class and so forth, why, you have it normally considered to be 8 hours out of the 24. But it does these things very readily, and you can enforce time upon it, and it will thereafter go at a slightly different pattern. You can train anybody, for instance, to eat once a day, to drink water maybe only twice a day or once a day. You can train people up to doing this. That is to say, you can adjust the body machinery. So the body must have machinery too. Well, the machinery plus the reactive bank and so forth. We call a reactive bank of the body its machinery. It's the equivalent. And it does timing. There are machines in there. This was all cared for, by the way, in the first book. There's a graph there in the back of the first book that rather humorous in aspects, but this graph nevertheless demonstrates that there's an autonomic nervous system or something that's it's all very complicated. But actually, that's the body's machinery. And the funny part of it is the body wouldn't exist at all if it wasn't for that machinery, because the body is that set of machinery, so we better not start differentiating too much between the body and machinery. Let's just close the gap there and say, well, the body is a nice machine, and let it go at that. The Thetan, however, isn't this closely wrapped up with his machinery. He is one thing, and the machinery is quite something else. The personality which we find in these four items is the Thetan. And if this is the case, he must then be doing something fantastic with this machinery in order to retain awareness and a passage of time and a lot of other things. So how is he observing the passage of time? First question, is he? Is he observing it? Or is he letting the body observe it for him? Guy who doesn't exteriorize readily is letting the body observe it for him. And when the body is observing it, it's evaluating for him. But it's moving him around in space. He then counts upon it to make the space, and so forth. And so he, of course, runs down to a point of non-existence, because the awareness which is there is the awareness of the passage of time, which would be awareness. All right. It isn't a close connection, but it could be said to be. All right. Now, just to get you out of this den of snakes, let's go at this and look at a Thetan's machinery. Let's not describe the body machines. The hell with the body machines. They're very interesting. But it's much more important to look at a Thetan's machinery, because it's much more exactly made, and it's in better shape and so forth. It does more interesting things and so forth. And he very often shoves it over onto the body, by the way. And those machines which you find the body running on are good solid machines and so forth. We won't go into whose machines are who here, but let's just take a look at the Thetan's arrangement of machinery. If he wanted to be consecutively aware in time, let's look at what he'd have to have. Ask a preclear one time to make a machine, then take his attention off of it and have it continue to run. He couldn't do this. He had an awful time doing this. So he made a machine to keep the machine running that he had just made. Well, I asked him to take his attention off of that machine. So he made a machine to cross-section into the other machine, and he worked and worked, and he finally solved it this way. He rigged up, actually, a battery of machinery. And having rigged it up, he geared all postulates into it this way. Whenever he thought of anything and activated any part of the machinery, all parts of the machinery activated. And so he solved it. In other words, he just sat there and made a reactive mind, lock, stock, and barrel. And that is the anatomy of the reactive mind. Well, now, Thetan actually doesn't have to be in as bad a condition as this preclear was in. This preclear just popped him out, see, and did a lot of drills, and I started to work with machine processing of various kinds. You know, make machines, duplicate them, break them down, make them, hide them, make them really work, discover them again, bust them up, and so forth. Well, main thing wrong with this preclear, as the Thetan, he had forgotten how to forget. He was making a very complex operation out of forgetting, which is the very complex operation of burying a bunch of machinery so that all machinery would go into action. And this is a complicated mechanism which permits somebody to forget. Machinery which activates machinery, which activates machinery, which activates machinery. By that time, of course, he's forgotten. He's put that fifth machine there, so he's walked into the dim past. But then he'd have to say that any time he gave any attention to anything, it would reactivate some machine, which then would reactivate all machines, and he's in then. He gets everything gone, but that's a mechanism for forgetting. And when this preclear finally wound up on machine processing, having made them and blown them out and done this to them and done that, we found a direction reversal machine. We found a black coloration machine. It was built like a genie, by the way, and it poured all kinds of smoke out of a bottle, which cleared everything up. It was a fascinating machine. He was very loath to break it up till I showed him he could make four better ones. And so when we got all through with scrambling this up one way or the other, when he was confident of his ability to replace his machines and hide them successfully, he had again, once more, learned how to forget while still retaining an activity in something. In other words, he could forget that he was giving attention to something and still give attention to it. Which, of course, merely requires this consideration. Now, let's see. I can forget that it's there, that I don't know where I put it. It will go on running. Period. Machine works. There it goes. So he thinks of something, boom, there goes the machine. He didn't have to be any more complicated than that. And so we had widely differentiated machine functions going off at widely different areas and intervals for a Thetan who knows how to forget, who can bury a machine, who can keep a machine working, but a Thetan who cannot, except by some kind of a system, forget. We have the sole answer being having to make a total reactive mind where everything activates everything, and then he can forget. It is much more important, and this would seem very strange, but true, it is much more important to have a system for forgetting, or the ability to forget, than it is to have one to remember. Because he knows everything anyhow. The only way he'll ever pick up any randomity any place is so if he can forget about it, occlude it, not look at it. But again, not look at it is a system of forgetting. Let's go into that very sharply there. Not looking at something is one of the many in the simplest system of forgetting. You put it there to look at, and then you don't look at it, so now you can say you have forgotten it. Machine doesn't have to be visible at all. Doesn't have to be located in space and time. The better machines aren't so located. You simply make a series of considerations saying, I've forgotten them now. That's all. But the Thetan who gets into a big system on this basis is on his way down and out, believe me, because the next thing you know, he will have forgotten what he forgot in such a way that he will also have forgotten that he can simply remake or unmake any consideration he's ever remade or unmade, and he will convince himself that he can't do this, and the system itself becomes the man. And you have your conservative case, your banker, so forth. The system is the man. When you move out of the realm of consideration, you run into systems. Now, you're using systems in processing. That's simply because you're trying to parallel the systems which the preclear has followed. And the final result of what you're doing is to undo the considerations which he has set up as automaticities so as to return to him the ability to make and unmake considerations, particularly the ability to unmake consideration. Any darn fool can make up his mind. Who can unmake it? The consistent postulate, of course, is the forward advance of time. Is there any forward advance? Or is there just a bunch of machinery which is all in present time, all the time, which is being activated at any attention put on it, particularly somebody else's? Now, when you set up a machine to be activated by somebody else's attention, you've got a picnic on your hands. After that, you have to have attention. You set up a machine for other people to grant beingness to, and then you prove to be not too interesting as a poet. My, you get unhappy. Nobody granted any attention to this machine, so you don't like this. In other words, Thetans do set up such machines, and the body definitely runs on such machines. Otherwise, Thetan never be able to handle one. The body has to have attention in order to motivate and run. If you don't give body attention, it'll practically collapse and die on you. All right, what's the answer to all this? The answer to all this is the most important machine would then be any sort of a machine which prevented an individual from unconsidering something he'd considered. That would be the most important kind of machine. So we run across somebody, we ask him, now give me three things that you could safely forget. Crunch, time lag. He just can't seem to think of anything he could safely forget, that's all. Why is this? Well, you're going straight into something which is a handy jim-dandy automatic reminder of all kinds of things. When you run into one of these handy jim-dandy reminders of all kinds of things, it essentially then must operate in such a way as to enforce all kinds of things on the individual. The individual then will be bombarded with all sorts of data. He will get data on everything. Anytime he thinks of a datum, he'll get a datum. Anytime he thinks of one datum, he gets a class of data. Did you ever run into anybody? He said anything to him? He all of a sudden started sounding off like an Encyclopedia Britannica. You eventually got the brakes on four paragraphs later. Long paragraph, small print. You ever run into anybody like that? Your father never talked like that, did he? Well, our consecutive data, associative logic, associative reasoning, Freudian association, so forth. It's all built on this basis. If anything I give attention to will then give attention to all the other things, it'll activate this whole class of things, so then I won't have to do a thing about it. Do a thing about it. You can't do anything about it, but then I won't have to know about it. And if I don't have to know about it, then think of all how wonderful it is, all the things I don't have to know. And I don't have to know all these things. Don't have to know. You mean all these things I'm able not to know. Gee, look at all these things I don't have to know. Fun. Now, an individual who starts to get quite learned will, after a while, get rather frantic about everything he knows. From being a comfortable feeling of being able to handle life, it goes into a highly, intensely uncomfortable feeling that he now knows far too much. If he went just a little bit further, an awful thing would happen to him. Do you know he'd run into one of these concatenations of machines? Where he looks at one machine, he'd run into one of those things, and he'd take a look at it, and he'd remember he made it, and he'd remember that this goes back to the basic consideration that there is a universe, that there is space, and that he is in it. And he'd blow all those things up, and we'd get back to the first problem we were talking about in the last half hour lecture. What would be the total damage here? The total damage, he would have to go to all the work. It might require him seconds, you see, to put back enough considerations to have the universe back again. Well, where do we enter this problem? Guy won't unmake this stuff. He won't look at these machines. He won't back out of ahead. He's got all kinds of reasons why everything's got to be automatic. He's got all sorts of things what he's got to do. He's, you know, horrible shape. Where do we move in on the case? Well, let's move in on it on this basis. Let's move in on it to improve his knowingness so as to show him that he doesn't blow to pieces. Let's go over that again slowly, if that's the total subject and what I've been wasting all these words leading up to saying this whereof is. You get him to knock out enough problems to demonstrate to him that he can actually knock out and let go of problems and unmake problems, in other words, increase his knowingness without disappearing, exploding, vanishing, losing the universe, and so forth. The penalty for losing the universe, we don't know. Don't know this penalty. It's probably self-administered. But it's certainly not handed down by any board of anything. The penalty for knowing about the universe is losing it. If you knew all about it, you'd lose it. Your preclear sit there, totally unbeknownst to him, and tell you all the things he doesn't know, all the things he doesn't know about himself. He's proud of him. Why is he so proud of him? Well, it shows he's a smart boy. He's got those machines so doggone buried that not even he can dig them up. I remember an old joke that was told about an individual. And the preacher asked him after the confessional was over, says, you bragging or confessing? And you can ask this preacher, are you bragging or running as a preacher? Every time he starts presenting these multifarious, multitudinous, interlocked, associative, gradient scale, difficulty tods, which he is presenting you with. Is you bragging or running? That's what it amounts to. The making of space itself is the first marked cut down of knowingness. Because it says, I am here and there is something over there. Which I, of course, would have to look at in order to discover what is it. We went into that much earlier. You remember this? Basic operation. There is a significance. What is it? He has to play this game with himself, and this is space, and this is a cut-down. Now, once in a while, you get a preclear, and this preclear almost knows something, you know. They're kind of unhappy, but they almost know something. If this preclear's in pretty good shape, you could say this to them, all right? Be the first space. Be yourself. The first space, yourself. First space, yourself. And this feeling of almost knowing something, but not quite, will go away. Now, every instant is the end. That's sad, isn't it? Compared to this datum, every instant is the beginning. That's sad too, isn't it? Because actually every instant is surviving. Oh, that's bad too. So it's all bad. So space is bad, so let's uncollapse all of our space and then we're real smart. We're stupid. Now we're real stupid. The greatest ambition, you might say, is to be stupid enough to have a complete universe, which is very interesting. Then the other problem is to be sufficiently aware to enjoy it and to keep from being so unaware that one doesn't know it's there at all. And a thetan hangs between these two poles. Let me be aware enough to enjoy it, but not so aware that I know I put it there. And that everything is the beginning and everything is the end. And that the time which is going forward is a timed agreement, which I am keeping up very carefully, body-wise. These bodies are what are keeping into steady agreement with each other. A thetan very often exteriorizes into last night and so forth. You have to be very careful after you've been cleared a bit and so forth when you're watching a motion picture or something like that, of not to know the end before you get to it. You know, it's funny. You have to be careful not to know the end. Now, it isn't that the end is formed in energy. This is what fools the thetan, you see. The end is not there as an energy form. He's not looking at it as an energy form. He just knows the end, you see. Just like the beginning is no longer there as an energy form either. But it has been, which then convinces him of the fact that it's all right for him to have a picture of it. It has occurred already. If he had pictures of the future and looked at those all the time, that would really be cheating. But it's not quite cheating sometimes to know what's going to happen a couple of seconds from now. But it's optimum, actually, to not be any more than a half a second or so in advance of yourself in terms of knowing this. But some people get so cautious that they only know as close to present time as 5 years ago. And give a thetan a good excuse to park himself on the track and avoid present time from there on, and he will, if he feels that he might suddenly have all revealed to him suddenly. All revealed, that's the terrible penalty of having all of his machines exposed to him and making him go into the awful trouble of putting them back again, and that would take over seconds. You understand that? It would actually take forever to put them all back again. Actually, it would be back together in no time at all. All equally true statements as far as the thetan is concerned. Somebody exteriorizes and find next year's hospital room hanging over his head. It's sometimes alarmed. Now, where do you enter it? Step 2. Procedure 30. Problems. How long do you run it? You run it until this guy is aware of what he's doing with problems, and being aware doesn't find it necessary to occlude the information of what he's doing with problems. You run it on him today, and he's forgotten about it tomorrow. He doesn't feel tomorrow, you know, he doesn't feel this anymore, that he is, you know, doing this spooky thing of being a problem to worry himself, or anything like this. He just laid that all aside. He's just forgotten about that quickly and happily. Sometimes 3 minutes after the session, why, your pre-clear says, oh, well, I have problems. Yes, I suppose I got something out of it. He's laughing like a fool during the thing. He's quickly occluded it all, which all tells you is he has an anxiety about knowing this, and that's all it tells you. You process then, step 2, in the direction of increasing his knowingness. How much knowingness is he willing to consider? And you process it until he's got enough knowingness to know what he's doing. In other words, you bring up his tolerance of being able to tolerate not having quite so many problems, because problems are, in essence, maybes and not knowingnesses. Got it? Okay.